Don't be shy. You are mujahids. Morana just told us that you're going for jihad. Jazakallah. Shukran.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله العلي الأعلى الذي خلق فسوى والذي قدر فهدى. أشهد أنه لا إله إلا هو، له الأسماء الحسنى، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صاحب المقام المعلى. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أول بيت وضع للناس للذي ببكة مباركا وهدى للعالمين. وقال تعالى: وأتم الحج والعمرة لله. صدق الله العظيم. Honorable علماء, the leadership of SAHOK, brothers, sisters, حجاج بيت الله الحرام. You know, just the sound of that title. You don't need to be a person who understands Arabic. You don't need to be a person who has experienced this journey already. Just the sound of a title that links us to the house of Allah and to Allah is enough to melt the heart. حجاج بيت الله الحرام. This is a special invitation. This is a special title. You are chosen ones, special ones. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy, and most importantly, may Allah accept it. You know, Saturday afternoons are synonymous for many things. They are synonymous for siesta. They are synonymous for sports. They are synonymous for shopping. But the one thing that a Saturday afternoon is not synonymous for is giving a talk or listening to a talk. And I sympathize with you, because my Saturday afternoons are also usually reserved for some siesta. I'm not too much into that old shopping story, you know. It's good to have a father-in-law in the locality. You can abdicate your responsibility when it comes to making Safa Marwa of the shopping malls. So I'm not going to go too much into the technical detail, nor is it going to be a very intense discourse. I just beg your attention for a few minutes. I want to share with you 3 points, just 3. And inshallah, I'm hoping that with the grace of Allah, those 3 points will make a difference to your journey and to your approach to this journey. Firstly, as an introductory point, let me say this, that up to now, you would have heard quite a bit about Hajj. You would have read, you would have listened. There are different dimensions to Hajj. There is the masail, the rulings, the jurisprudic aspect of it. Then there are the fada'il, the virtues of Hajj, the virtues of Makkah, the virtues of Medina. Then there's the admin and the logistics part of it, and that's your accreditation and your tickets and your booking arrangements and all of that. And then there are people's personal experiences. So people in your family, your friends, your colleagues, your neighbors, they tell you about their Hajj journey. What were the positives? What were the challenges? And that then becomes your narrative. That becomes your perception. That becomes your mindset in as far as Hajj is concerned. Now, the masail has its place. And that, in the more specific Hajj classes, etc., they talk about the rules and regulations and the rulings and injunctions of Hajj. The admin and the logistics, that is being dealt with by the relevant people, the regulator and the travel agents. People's experiences, I'll just say one thing, listen to people's experiences, but focus on your own experience. You know, sometimes somebody else's challenge will not necessarily become your challenge. Many times these experiences make us unnecessarily fearful. And the one aspect that sometimes gets neglected is the aspect of fada'il, the virtues of Hajj. There's a lot of emphasis. People are very focused on the rules and regulations. And we appreciate that because it shows that people want to do it as correctly as they possibly can. They want to do it by the book, so to speak. But you know, you must also understand the essence behind Hajj. You must understand what rewards are in store for you. You must understand what blessings Allah has put in this great journey. And for that, you need to read up on the fada'il. You need to read up on the virtues of Hajj as well. But I'm not going to address any of those aspects. I want to narrow it down to one thing and one thing only. And that is your mindset, your attitude, your approach, your actions. In simple terms, the state of your heart before Hajj. The message that I want to drive home in this short discourse this afternoon is that you need to go for Hajj with a prepared heart. There's no doubt you'll be prepared administratively and logistically. You'll have your tickets, you'll have your bookings, you'll have your accreditation. You will learn about the masail. You will be questioning the scholars all the while. Can I do this? Can't I do this? Is there dump for this? No dump for that. You'll be listening to people's experiences. All of that falls into place ultimately. But I think the one point that we tend to somehow miss out on is that, am I going for Hajj with a prepared heart? You know, last year I purchased a book. And this book contained the stories of reverts. Reverts to Islam who went for Hajj. And I bought this book just before the Hajj broadcast, you know, to try and see, okay, what new angles are there, what new perspectives are there that we can utilize for discussion during the Hajj broadcast. And what I noticed, the one thing that stood out for me, is that these reverts to Islam, they looked upon this journey for Hajj as a life-changing moment. You and I, we know it. We've heard it at some point or the other. I think Maulana also alluded to it. That it's an opportunity to change your life. But I think sometimes we don't give it its due emphasis. We look at Hajj as an obligation that we need to discharge. So you know, at some point in my life, I have to make my Hajj. And that's a good thing. So we want to tick the box that I have discharged my obligation, I have performed my Hajj. But very few of us, in the true sense, actually look at it as a journey that I must embrace in such a way that it becomes a moment in my life that transforms me and keeps me transformed for the better. Hajj is not only about how to get well prepared to go get the journey done and come back and say, I've done it too. I'm also a Haji. I can tick that particular box. Did it transform your life? Did it make you and keep you a better Muslim? And I've noticed that many reverts to Islam, perhaps because of their deeper appreciation for the faith, having come from a different background than you and I, that they actually approach the journey in that particular way. And that's why I opted today to just tell you three things that will center around ensuring that we go for Hajj with a prepared heart. So that's the first point, that Hajj is a life-changing journey. That should be your intention. And that should be your primary focus. Your primary focus should not be the administrative issues or the jurisprudential issues. How am I going to make this a journey that will transform my life for the better? Not only whilst I'm a Haji, but for the rest of my life. And if you look back, and I'm sure in each one of us, in our families, we can think of at least one person who went for Hajj and transformed and remained transformed until their last breath. And that should be our greatest aspiration. Because ultimately, Hajj is not a journey of rituals. I'm not trivializing that. There's a process, there's a procedure, there are rules and regulations. But Hajj is a journey of love and submission. The scholars tell us that we love Allah. Our greatest love is for our Creator. And in this world, we can't meet Allah. We can't see Allah. But Allah has created the Hajj journey. And Allah says, once in your life, if you can afford it, embark on this journey. Come to that centerpiece. The Kaaba is directly beneath the Arsh of Allah. And all the mercies and the blessings and the effulgence of Allah descends from the Arsh to the Kaaba and it's spread from there throughout the world. Come directly there once in your life so you can come and directly connect with Allah. Like then we can connect to Allah from anywhere. A person here with sincerity can be more connected to Allah than a person there. But sometimes you just need to feel a degree of closeness. You need to come out of your routine and you need to come out of your lifestyle here to embark on some sort of a journey. So Hajj is like you're traveling to meet Allah. And the Kaaba becomes that particular symbol. This journey is a journey where you have a responsibility on behalf of the Ummah. Al-Hujjaju Wafdullah. You are the delegation that the Ummah is sending to Makkah al-Mukarramah. That bring back those special mercies, those blessings, and bring it back into your homes and into your communities so that it can become more widespread. That's why the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that I always share with the Hujjaj, the Nabi of Allah used to make this dua. Allahumma ghfir lil hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al hajj. Oh Allah, forgive the haji and forgive everyone on whose behalf the haji seeks forgiveness. So this is not a journey only of accreditation, tickets, bookings, masail, rules, regulations, going there, getting it done and coming back and tell everybody, we pelted in 15 minutes, it took us 1 hour from Arafat to Muzdalifah, that's my hajj, I tick the box, I'm a haji, here's the kujur and zamzam. Did it become a transformational journey? Did I truly represent my community, my segment of the ummah, as a representative when I went there? Did I become worthy of the dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when the Nabi of Allah said, Allahumma ghfir lil hajj wa liman istaghfara lahu al hajj? So the first of my 3 points, your intention is supposed to be that I'm embarking on this journey to transform my life forever. Everybody transforms there for a few weeks, but to transform my life forever, that's the first thing. The second thing, and this is not something that we often focus on, and I think it's regrettable. Get acquainted with the history of Makkah, Medina, and the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We all went to Maktab, and we learned the basic history. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born in this month, in this year. This is where he grew up, Abu Talib, Abdul Muttalib. No, not that. You are going to Medina, you are going to Makkah, even if you've been before, but Hajj is a different ball game altogether. Learn with greater depth about Makkah, Medina, what happened there. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam go through? What did he have to face up to in terms of challenges? What were the different lessons of his life? So when you're there, all of that is fresh in your mind. It makes it an altogether different experience. One book that I would recommend is Siratul Mustafa, which is found in English now. Good translation of English, you'll find it in most of the bookshops. It may take you a few weeks, a few months to read it. But if you read it, and you make your mind and your heart fresh with what happened in Makkah, what happened in Medina, if you are able to visualize, so by the time you reach there later in the year, when you're walking in Medina, your mind is thinking about how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam walked in Medina. And what were the different happenings and occurrences? If you read in that Siratul Mustafa about the Hajjatul Wida and the Khutbatul Wida, when you in Mina, you'll think about the Sahaba in Mina. When you in Arafah, then you'll think about the Khutbatul Wida and what it meant and what was the significance. So acquaint yourself with the history. That's the second point that I want to make. But don't only acquaint yourself with the history, try and align your lifestyle as much as you can to the history before you get there. Try and align yourself with the history as much as you can before you get there. It will become so much more of an enriching experience. And take it with if you have to. Nowadays technology has made it easy. Download the PDF and when you've got time in between, read the seerah. Read about what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's mission was. What were his sacrifices? What did the Sahaba go through? Why are we there? We are there because we believe in La ilaha illallah. How did La ilaha illallah come to us on the southernmost tip of Africa? There was a group of people who gave their lives, who sacrificed their wealth, who stood up to the superpowers of the time. If we don't plug into that history, if we don't refresh that history, if we don't increase our knowledge of that history before we embark on that journey, then we are depriving ourselves of a greater sweetness from the experience of Hajj. When you are constantly thinking of your Nabi and his companions and how they made Hajj, What role Makkah played in our history? What role Medina played in our history? What is the significance? What is the lessons? What are the messages? Then it makes it a far more fulfilling journey. So that's the second. And the third, it's pretty much what Maulana Muhammad was saying, that get ready spiritually. So the first, your intention and your preparation should be that this is going to be a journey that transforms my life forever. The second, you acquaint yourself with the history and the significance of the different happenings in those holy lands. And the third, you need to get ready spiritually. I think one of the great tragedies when it comes to Hujjaj, and especially South African Hujjaj, we spend a lot of time getting ready financially, which is understandable. Administratively, making sure everything is in order. You've got all the right documents. The luggage is there. Everything's tagged. Everything's packed. Get the list from everybody. What will I need? How many books will I need? Everything we got. We're very prepared in that regard. Very prepared, comparatively speaking. But how ready are we spiritually? You know what we notice many times? Hujjaj go with the best of intentions. They go from here, they go to Medina. Medina is a few days. So they pumped up, they psyched up, they're giving it their best. 1 week into Makkah, the spiritual batteries are flat. The spiritual, why? Because you're not in the routine of performing salah at home. Now all of a sudden to get into a routine of performing 5 times salah with jama'ah becomes a little bit challenge. You're not in a routine of reading Quran at home. Now to read Quran to the extent that you ought to while you're on this journey becomes a challenge. You're not in the routine of keeping silent for lengthy periods of time. So what happens? Full up in the corridors, Haji buys, Haji bends. Gup shipping away. Talking about the politics and the sports and everything under the sun. Because you've got so much of time at your disposal, you don't know what to do with it. And yet it's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Every good deed is getting multiplied. At home, you can't find time to make salah. You're so busy, your routine is so tight. Now you've got all of this time, there's abundance of time. And very few people can utilize it to its maximum. Why? Because spiritually, we did not prepare ourselves. If your salah is not in order, you have a few months to get it in order. You know, if you don't start giving up sin, this journey can only become a transformational journey if we make an effort. If you don't start giving up sin, you will then continue with some of those sins even when you're in haram. And in the best case scenario, you will be able to press the pause button on your sins just until you return. 2 months later, you'll never say that this person went for Hajj. Because before the journey, there wasn't that spiritual preparation. So if you want this to become that transformational journey, it's a bit of hard work. Harder work. It's harder than saving for Hajj. It's harder than choosing the right agent and making sure all your documentation is in order. It's harder than packing and everything else. You need to start giving up sin, getting your salah in order. Many people don't know how to make dua. They don't. Because it's not the routine in their lives. That's why they're always running behind the alim. They make dua for us. The collective dua has its place. But I remember when I went for Hajj, the alim so beautifully said, he said, look, we'll make collective dua because there's a barakah in that. Maybe there's one pious person and because of him or her, everybody's dua get accepted. But he said it very bluntly, but that message stuck with me till today. He said, but you need to make your own dua. Because maybe I'm asking Allah for sheep and you want cows. We don't know how to talk to Allah because it hasn't become part of our routine. That's why we see people come sit for itikaf in the masjid, make dua for us. The Khatmul Quran dua, that's the one they want because it's collective. And everybody's saying Ameen loudly. But what about your own dua? Start practicing that. Recitation of the Quran. One good thing that I heard one day somebody suggest, all the Arabic chantings that you're going to do, the Talbiyah for example, learn the meaning of it. Learn the different interpretations that the scholars have given. Rather than going before the Rawdah and in a parrot fashion trying to read the Arabic and you don't understand, memorize it, finish. Learn the meanings of it. So when you go there and you say it, you're saying it with the presence of heart. You're saying it with a greater degree of consciousness. Look, I'm not saying that it's realistic to expect us to go and spend all of our time in the masjid there in Makkah or in Medina. Human beings are human beings, right? The shopping list already started to have developed. But I'll tell you something. It's all about priorities. We know that if you go and you spend in Medina, you get greater reward. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam made dua for greater barakah in terms of the goods of Medina, even compared to Makkah. All of that is in its place. But what's your priority? What's your priority? Like we prioritize here, in this context, when we're at home, we need to learn to prioritize there. I said to my wife and my mother and my sister, I went for Umrah earlier this year, three women with me. I told them, I'm not saying that don't go for shopping. I'm not saying that. But let's have a timetable. We got so many days in Medina. This is how many hours per day maximum you're going to spend on shopping, nothing beyond that. If something gets left behind, inshallah, you'll find it in South Africa. You'll pay more for it, but the time that you spend not shopping, the reward is something that you can't compensate for. So yes, you have to spend time eating, you'll have to spend some time relaxing, a little bit of time socializing, but the devil is on the prowl. The devil is on the prowl in Makkah and Medina. And his most effective weapon there is to get you to waste time, not to maximize on the opportunity. And then as we conclude, you know, I normally say this when we speak about marriage, that you can't call your daughter the day before she gets married and says, you know, my Poiri, when you go to your husband's house, you must work hard. But for 18 years in your house, she didn't work hard. Or you call your son and you say, Dikru, now you're getting married, you must stop all those weekends with your friends, all the fishing and the hunting and all of that. Because what happens, you never train them in the regard. Now for 18 or 20 years, she was doing one thing. To expect her to go there and do something else is difficult. If your child has a temper, and you don't train them to control their temper, now you say, okay, after you get married, you must control your tongue. It's not going to happen. Similarly, everybody will say Hajj is about sabr. Hajj is about perseverance. But if you have no practice in perseverance, how are you going to persevere? If you lose your cool when somebody didn't park properly in the masjid parking lot, if you lose your cool because the neighbors are a bit loud on a particular night, if you don't start training yourself to be more patient, to be more tolerant, to be more forgiving over smaller issues here at home when you're not under pressure, now all of a sudden when you're there, you're in ihram, you're not in comfortable clothing, you're tired, you're traveling, you think you're going to be able to display patience? Maybe the barakah of the day might save you, but the chances are not great. So that is also part of the spiritual preparation for Hajj. So to recap in summation, and I think I've got a minute left, I'm a radio man, so I work good with time frames. Three things. Make that intention, couple it with action, that I'm going to prepare for this journey in the way where I go with a prepared heart, so it becomes a journey that transforms my life forever. Acquaint yourself with the history before you acquaint yourself with the shopping malls. And where will I get the Bedouin Ism scarf for the best price? Or where will I get the Dafa Kurta, the one with the stripes and the one that's not bland in its whiteness, it shines in its whiteness. I've heard all of these discussions. That has its place. But acquaint yourself with the history. Do greater preparation there. And lastly, start your spiritual preparation by giving up sin, by getting your salah in order, and starting with a routine that will slowly develop and help you to build up that momentum as you get ready for the journey. I'll leave you with these thoughts. We always hear the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Al-Hajj al-Mabroor, laysa lahu jazaa'un illa al-Jannah. That the accepted Hajj, there is no reward for it except Jannah. So this journey can become your ticket to Jannah, which is the ultimate goal for a Muslim. But what is an accepted Hajj? The scholars are almost unanimous that an accepted Hajj is when you come back a better Muslim and you remain a better Muslim. An accepted Hajj is not going for Hajj and coming back. It's going for Hajj, coming back better and remaining better. And that should be your goal. I leave you with these words for those who understand Urdu, and I'll translate it for those who don't. One day I heard somebody give a talk in Mina. And he said something so profound that up till today it sticks in my mind. He said, Hajj karna asan hai. To make Hajj is relatively easy. But Haji banna asan nahi hai. To become a Haji is not that easy. The work has to start now. You all will make Hajj inshallah, but will you come back a true Haji? That will depend on your intention, your action, and the mercy and the assistance of Allah. Remember me and my family in your du'as as well. May I jazakum Allah for the opportunity. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa sallam.
Jazakum Allah khair.
this Hajj, this journey of Hajj.